Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In your situations and what you go through in life, what's in the beginning? What's in the beginning? Is it what you see? Is it your situation? Is it your circumstance? Or do you go to the Word immediately? Is that the first thing that you think about? Is that the first thing that's rising up on the inside of you? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in who? The Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Now let's go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so tonight, the assignment that the Lord has given me is to talk to you a little bit about the Word of God that we have written here, the Scriptures, in light of, I don't want to say in light of just the voice of God or hearing the voice of God, but in light of what the Spirit of God reveals to you. I think that it is very important that as we continue to move in the things of the Spirit, and as we continue to allow the Spirit of God to flow in this church, as more and more new people come into the church, I think that it's very, very important that we understand what the relationship is between our study of the Word of God here to that which is being revealed to us in our spirit. And maybe the statement is very simple. But as I was thinking about it, this thought today kind of came to me. It's that which you know versus that which is known. Okay? That which you know in light of that which is known. That which is known are the things that have already been deposited into your spirit. When you became born again, the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so as a born-again believer, you're connected to the Spirit of God. The Bible says that as a result of that, that Jesus has been made wisdom unto us, okay? Everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness, it's already been given to us through God's grace. So that which is known is really all of the treasures that are hid in Christ. That has been deposited on the inside of us. Okay? We're not going to God and saying, God, give me more that way. You know, even when we sing the song, you know, I want more. I want more. If you want to say it correctly, and if you want to discern it correctly, you're not saying, I want more because I don't have enough. You know, so God, you know, pour more externally on me. You know, really what we're saying is, Lord, I want more of what's already deposited on the inside of me to be expressed through my mind, to be expressed through my knowing up here, to be expressed through what I speak, to be expressed through what I do. I want to go deeper into the things that you've already given to me. I want more of that being expressed in my life. Always, particularly when we sing, make sure as we talk about the presence of God, as we talk about the things of God, always look from the inside out. Amen. We have a tendency in churches to see ourselves in a time of worship. We see ourselves at this place. God, come invade this place. God, come through the roof and just, you know, give. I want the glory cloud and all of that just to come through, you know, that way. And so we tend, you know, as we look up, we forget that we should be looking in. The presence of God, you carry that with you. You carry that with you. And God's not going to affect you from the outside to change your inside. It is that He's already changed your inside. Now, what do we have to do to allow Him to come out to the outside? Amen. And I'm telling you, it is a huge difference when you change your mindset, even in times of worship. That which I know and that which is known. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. All right, verse 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, he that speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men, but unto God. So that means that me going up and speaking in tongues to one of you, it doesn't do you any good because something else is going on. As I'm praying in the Spirit, as I'm speaking in tongues, what's happening? I am speaking to God. It's very clear. I'm speaking unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. Edify means to build up. Now turn back with me over to chapter 2. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now that tells me something right there. That I can spend the time coming up with the greatest sermon that has ever been created. I can come up with the nice little jokes and the nice little illustrations and all of those things to make sure you get it. And it will be by my own self-effort that created this. And so then the person sitting here listening, their faith will stand in that which I created. But Paul had another idea. He said, I wanted to make sure that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so for me, I recognize that I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. I recognize, you know, like my dad has that voice, you know, when he was on radio and it just, you know, captures you. I didn't get blessed with that. Y'all made it abundantly clear on Sunday morning that singing is not my gift and calling in life. Y'all agreed with my son as he threw me under the bus and raised his hand when I said I shouldn't sing again. I even had one person in this church who shall remain nameless that said, you know, I like to sing too, but, you know, I sound best in the shower. I don't know how I'm supposed to take that, but all right. But guess what? I don't care about those things. I don't care about how good my voice is. I don't care about if I stumble over words. I don't care about any of those things. Why? Because that should not be the thing that causes somebody to come into the kingdom of God, that causes them to catch what the Spirit of God is saying. If you are only listening to the eloquent speech that is out there and you're only receiving at that level, you're missing what the Spirit is saying underneath that. Don't get caught up in the emotion of the preaching. Don't get caught up in the eloquence of what somebody is saying, because if that is what is determining your spiritual growth, then you are falling way short of whatever God wants you to have. The Spirit of God must be present in our services. It must be present in the things that are being said. It must be like Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak must go directly into the spirit. And I must be speaking things according to what God has said and not to what I've studied and not to what I think needs to be said for this day. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, what did we just learn over in 1 Corinthians 14? That in the spirit, as I pray in the spirit, I speak mysteries. So he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so if you go on down, you'll see in verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Oh my gosh, this is such a powerful scripture. Religion has twisted this and has robbed the scripture of its power in men's lives. They've stopped here and they've said, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into. And so what they've said is, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. Because why? God's so deep. God works in mysterious ways. We can't get it. And that's not even the focus of this. He's talking about revelation knowledge. He's talking about the hidden wisdom that's available to you and me as a child of the Most High God. He's talking about what's available to us every day as we walk, so that we'll know assuredly that we're right where we're supposed to be in this moment. He's saying, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, yet the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I love him. That means God's prepared a bunch of stuff for me. I mean, he's already prepared it before I was ever born. He prepared for Pastor Mark a bunch of stuff, you know, and it's so wonderful that as I was growing up, I had no idea. Had no idea. I wouldn't even let it enter into my heart, enter into my mind, because what God wanted to do in my life was too good to be true in the natural. But it says here in the very next verse, don't stop reading. If you don't like what you read, just keep going and see if it fixes itself. But God hath revealed them what? Everything that God's prepared for us. He's revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Oh my gosh. Father, I thank you that you've prepared for us, your children, who love you so much. Great and wonderful things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, so what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying is, that what he's prepared for us the only way for you to know truly what God has prepared for you is not by your intellect. It's not by figuring it out. Because what God has prepared for you is so far beyond what you can imagine with your mind. It's so far beyond what you can comprehend. It is the reason why he has placed it in a place that must be known by his Spirit. It must be instinctively understood by your spirit man, so that when the revelation of it comes, that it comes up from the inside, it comes up from here, and instantly then your understanding is enlightened to something that God has already prepared for you, but it must be drawn from the Spirit. This is the reason why that there has been a real war against moves of the Spirit. Listen to me. From the time that Christianity was birthed, Satan's goal hasn't been necessarily to stop the church. It's been to stop the move of the Spirit. Through doctrine, through teaching, even by keeping people from being able to read the word through the dark ages, it was to stop people from understanding what it meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they could live Holy Ghost filled lives, and so that they could get access into the things of the Spirit and finally find out what God has already prepared for them. Because when a people gets insight into what God has already given them, and when they know it by the Spirit, when you know things by the Spirit, you will not be able to be stopped. Nobody can tell you that God wants you to be sick. because you know now that God said, by his stripes I am healed, and you know that it's already been done. God can give you direction on a daily basis, and you will go and you will walk confidently. Yeah. What has happened in my life in the last 6 months in this church has been just amazing personally for me, that as we continue to move deeper in the things of the Spirit, instead of me just hearing the voice of God on Sunday and on Wednesday, I now expect to hear him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. I'm aware of his presence all of the time. Everywhere that I go, I know, I am confident that God told me to do this, that God told me to say this. I step out on those things and God backs it up with signs following. And there's nothing that anybody can tell me that says that's not God. I know it's God because I have learned to hear his voice. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, your spirit, what's on the inside of you, knows what's going on in your mind, knows what's going on in you. You know, nobody knows Wendy like Wendy knows Wendy.
That's right.
That's right. There may be some things that Wendy doesn't want anybody else to know about Wendy.
That's right.
That's right. Nobody knows Jennifer like Jennifer knows Jennifer.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody just comes up to me and tells me what a sweet lady she is and all of that. And I'm like,
watch your mouth.
Thanks, Jeff. I heard the Holy Spirit in the back say, careful. In other words, I was about to go too far. I was about to see that side of her that wasn't quite so sweet. But it's just saying that nobody knows you like you.
Amen. That's right.
Well, guess what? Nobody knows God like the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And what have we been given? The Spirit of God.
Amen.
I mean, the one that knows everything is on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Son of God, I mean, he told the disciples, he's like, look, I got a lot of stuff I want to tell you guys, but it's better for you if I just go, because I'm going to send you the one that knows it all, and he's going to guide you into all truth. He was so excited about what was going to happen in their lives. So what did Satan try to do? He's tried to stop people from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's tried to stop people from understanding what it means to have the Spirit of God dwelling on them and allowing him to guide them into all truth. And so it says here, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit. Even so, the things of God knows no man. And what does that mean? I can't know what God has done for me intellectually. I can't figure it out. I can study the word. Have you read the Bible and it just sometimes didn't make sense to you? You got nothing out of it? Some of you probably tonight is like, that's me all the time. Why? I've had some people tell me, I don't understand how to study the word of God. But he says, lost my place. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So in context, it is what God has prepared for us that love him. Only the Spirit of God knows how much that really is. He's the only one that can reveal it to us. And so he says in verse 12, now we have received. What have we received? Not the spirit of the world. Why? Because the spirit of the world, they are limited to what they can see, what they can hear, what they can smell, what they can taste, what they can feel. They are limited to this natural. And so God has done things that goes beyond the natural and given us stuff that's supernatural. But we've received the Spirit, which is of God, Why? I mean, just read it. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. The Spirit of God has been given unto us for the express purpose of revealing to you how much God loves you and how much He wants to do in your life. My goodness. And we want to limit Him to just Sunday morning. We want to limit Him to just praying every now and then. When the Spirit of God is there, it's like, I want to guide you into some truth. There's some things that God's already provided for you. Now, how do I draw out of that? How do I access those things? Well, that's where that 1 Corinthians 14 comes in. Spirit of God is on the inside of us. The mysteries of God, the hidden wisdom that is in God. He said that when I begin to pray in the Spirit, when I begin to speak in other tongues, I'm speaking to God. Right? I am praying mysteries. As I speak in other tongues, I am actually speaking out the things that God has prepared for me. I'm speaking those things and I'm allowing the revelation of it to begin to start working on the inside of me. Because it's not me that's praying. The Holy Spirit, He's drawing out of the deep things of God. He's drawing out of the deep things of God. Hallelujah. So, turn with me over to Acts chapter 17. Let me show you another side of this that's important. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This is very important. Give me 1 second. I want you to notice here that as Paul began to preach the word of God to them, and as they received the revelation of it, they didn't stop at just listening to what he had to say. I'm about to give you a principle that you must implement in your life as you learn to hear the voice of God when it comes to the things that he's revealing to you. This will keep you from getting off into error. It will keep you from getting off into a place where you think something is of God, but yet you end up and you find out that it wasn't somewhere down the road because you mistook what you were feeling as an emotion for it being the Spirit of God. Okay? They made up their mind that they weren't just taking what they heard at face value, but what they did is when they received the word, they were ready to receive it, but then they searched the scriptures how often?
Daily.
They searched them daily to see if these things were so. And you know what's interesting about this? And I don't mean to take as much time as I am teaching tonight, but there's some things that the Holy Spirit wants to get across. You know what's interesting about this, as the Lord's been having me talk about grace and the grace of God, is that the scriptures that they were searching were Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have Ephesians. They didn't have Galatians that talked about the law versus grace. They didn't even have Romans, you know, the great, you know, chapters 3-8 that talks about the grace of God. They didn't have any of that. So if they searched the scriptures, what were they searching? Old Testament. Which means the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, it pointed to the revelation of the new covenant. See, it would have been very easy. Now listen, it would have been very easy for them to have said, well, this is a new revelation. This is what Jesus said. And so you won't find it in the Old Testament because this is the new covenant. So this is the new formula or the new thing that we're going to write down. And, you know, sometimes we have that go on in our churches today. You know, they'll just start preaching and they'll start saying things and they'll give a new revelation that you can't really back up with the Word of God. But, you know, it sounds so good and it makes so much sense that I'm just going to go with it. But I want you to notice that they searched the scriptures daily because they knew that it would back up the things that were said. What are some of the things that they saw? How about when David said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. You know, he's removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. They started seeing grace in the scriptures, believe it or not. And that's in the Old Testament that they saw it. It pointed to what Jesus was going to do in our life. Righteousness would be the new standard. God would make us. He said he would write his laws on our mind and on our heart. All of these things in the Old Testament pointing the way to the grace that came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So for us, as we begin to reveal, or as God begins to reveal things in our life, it is important that you continue to stay in the Word on a daily basis. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, he's not talking about babies versus adults. He's saying in the same way that a baby desires to drink milk. And, you know, a baby wants it all the time. He said, you need to have that same desire for the Word of God. It's got to be part of your daily diet spiritually. It's not enough just to pray in the Spirit. It's not enough just to pray morning and night. The Word of God must be part of your daily diet because in there, it will give you the stability to know that what you're hearing from God lines up with His Word. And so it will give you a sure foundation on which to believe Him and to receive the great things that He has already prepared for you. Amen. Just two more scriptures. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He was encouraging a Holy Ghost-filled man to study. And then turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The word sanctify means to set apart. This is a decision that you make. You set apart the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, you separate Him and you give Him all of everything that goes on the inside of you. It's like that belongs. I'm separating. That belongs to God and God only. I'm not dividing my, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm not dividing my, not attention, but my desires, it'll come to me in a moment. I'm not going to allegiance. I'm not dividing my allegiance. I'm not going to let my heart go this way a little bit, go towards God a little bit. No, the Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So I'm taking everything that's on the inside of me and I'm sanctifying the Lord in my heart. I'm setting him apart. I'm saying, Father, everything that I have on the inside, that's for you. I'm setting that for you. And then it says here, it says, and then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's important that you study. It's important that you have the word of God. Every day, this word needs to be going in. Why? It's spirit. It's life. I'm receiving what it says. But not only that, as it goes in, then what it's doing is as those things that are known in the spirit begin to come up, then God begins to connect those things with things that I've already studied. This is what happens a lot of times with me on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, that as I'm ministering, the spirit of God draws out of things that I have studied for years, draws out of the word that's been present in my life, just in my own personal time. And so he begins to make connections by revelation that I had never known before, that I'd never thought of before. But if I hadn't spent the time studying in my own personal time, if I hadn't put that there, then there was really nothing for the Holy Spirit to be able to draw out of to make that connection so that I could minister it to you. So walking in the Spirit isn't just about, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit all the time. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then I'm just going to get supernatural wisdom and everything that I need to do. And I'm good. The grace of God is not God's welfare program. Can I say that again? The grace of God is not God's welfare program. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we have the mentality that the grace of God is given to us, just so that we can do whatever we want to do. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to do nothing. Because, listen, we have a society, a welfare society. There are more people on disability and on welfare now than I think that are even working in the workforce. Now, if you have a legitimate disability, if you legitimately have an issue, then thank God for the government programs that are there to help you. Okay? So I'm not talking down on disability and welfare in general. What I am talking down on is people that are trying to just use that as an opportunity to get out of work, to get out of doing something. And saying, you know what? I got the government check coming in. I got the government food coming in. I can use my EBT card for anything that I want to, and I just don't have to work. Maybe I'll go have a few more kids so I can get some more money coming in. And that's a wrong attitude that is pervasive in our society. But we have taken that welfare mentality with the grace message and think, it's the same way with God. God, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to do nothing. And your grace has already provided everything for me. And so I thank you for it. And so now I am just a spiritual welfare Christian. In reality, the grace of God is given to us to empower us to do what we were created to do. The grace of God, I've been created to do good works. I've been created to do something. I've been created to accomplish His will on my life. And that means I got to get up off of my rear end and get a spiritual rear end. Thank you very much. And I got to get up and start allowing the Spirit of God and the grace of God to cause me to do what He's already created me to do. And as I learn about what He's revealed to me, what He's already given to me, glory to God, then I'll step into those things as the grace of God empowers me to do it. Amen. Amen. So, pray in the Spirit. Yes. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So that you can access a knowing of what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. And make the word of God first place. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. Derek, would you play, please? Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that he confirms his word with signs following. What a powerful testimony we had. What a powerful testimony. I mean, you think about that. And it's just to visualize what happened. That calf muscle that was drooping down to reattach itself because he acted on the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hey, Dad. Come here, please. I just believe you have something to add to that.
Hallelujah. Yandiribu sombrante che le siti debu. Ye sendere cobasan de le depese. Yo bra satellite condese yende le boba. Le me la boson brande che se yandere bosom yande le sola.
My children, hear the voice of my word. Hear the cry of my heart. What I have laid up for you from the foundation of the world. It is true, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. And so I have sought for a people that dare to believe, that dare to step out, that dare to receive the things that I reveal unto them. Now, allow me to reveal these things to you. Allow my spirit to operate in you and through you, and then believe that which I reveal. And this world will not be the same when my children take their place and start receiving that which I have longed for them to receive by my grace. Amen. Amen.
And the Lord's doing a new thing with this group of people. There's going to be things revealed to this group that's never been seen before. The power that's got to be of me for there to be a true revival across the land. I've said for years that it would start in this town. I've said for generations now about the firestorm. But the firestorm can only come as we reach out and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us those things that He would have us to receive.
Mm-hmm.
God cannot do things on the earth without letting man be a part of it. He's looking for people. He's found a few. Many are called, few are chosen. Be one of those few. Know your God and do great exploits.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody need healing tonight? Thank you, Lord. Does anybody need healing tonight? Or would you stand with me for a moment, please? Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We receive the word that is spoken tonight in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Continue playing, Derek. Does anybody have anything that the Lord's just dropped into their spirit to share? You know, I believe it's not just about the pastor. I believe it's the congregation. You everybody has a supply of the Spirit. You know, there's enough in what was said tonight that I know that for some of you that it sparked some thoughts, it sparked some things, you know. So just share. Just step out for a moment. Just share what the Spirit of the Lord has given you. Glory to God. This is about the body edifying each other. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. About 6 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go down to Central America with some missionaries. Well, being of Scottish descent, I'm studying the money. And I'm out there in the yard working one day, and my wife came out and she said, Mr. Green just called and said that the motor in his car has gone bad, and his son told him that we had a car we might sell him. Well, we had an 88 Cadillac Coupe DeVille with low mileage, clean. They needed a water pump and a master cylinder kit. And she said, why don't we give him the car? Well, as Brother Frank used to teach, you can't be a blessing unless you first blessed. So I said, hey, that sounds good. She went back in the house, called Mr. Green, and told him to come and get the car. Well, the man cried. He can't believe anybody's going to give him a car. Well, now you got to go back about 30 years before that. My wife and daughter had gone to a garage sale here in Irondale at the National Guard Armory. And she had bought a box of patterns. Most of you ladies know, some of you younger ones might not know. But the missionary's wife had told my wife, don't wear slacks, don't wear shorts. They were missionaries to the Maya Indians, and the Maya Indians ladies wore skirts and dresses, not shorts. So she goes in the house, and that box of patterns had been in there for years. And she thought, well, maybe I'll just make a dress. I'll look and see what kind of dress they might have in the patterns. She got the box out of the closet. One of the envelopes was open, and there was $2,000 in it. Well, she didn't tell me right away, you know. She kind of got cute with it, you know. She said, oh, don't worry about it. She said, I got this covered.
No.
Well, she can't keep a secret very long, but anyway, she told me about it. And I told her, I said, look, if we had sold Mr. Green the car, the best we could have done was maybe $900, maybe $1,000. And I said, there wouldn't have been a dime in that envelope anyway. I said, that's the way the Lord works. We had money left over after the trip. All expenses were paid. And we had money left over. And I just praise God for His kindness and His goodness. Thank you very much.
You don't know what God's already prepared for you. $2,000 in a fabric pattern envelope. Who gets that? A child of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a word that they'd like to share? Kinda.
I just heard God saying that when it says that what He prepared for us, that we were all created with a purpose. We are not a mistake. He has a plan for each one of us. It may not be the same. You know, His plan for my life may be different from yours, but it's still, He has a plan, and it's important, you know. And that's all.
And that's a good word. Amen. Well, Pat's been out of town for the last month or so.
Y'all might better sit down.
If
If I told y'all, y'all could come out to my farm and I put $10,000 in a metal can and buried it 1 foot under the ground, and I said, you can come out there and I'll give you the metal detector, and for $10 you can look for 5 minutes, how many people would come out there? That's what he's talking about when he's talking about, don't just sit here and listen to the words. Search the scriptures and study to show yourself approved. Because, see, God always causes you to prosper. Always. If anybody doesn't want to know what always means, just come by and ask me and I'll try to explain it to you. But in Matthew... Oh, what happened to everything I had laid out here? Jesus asked Peter, well, he asked all the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And Peter came up with an answer. And Jesus said back to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So his brain didn't think it up. He didn't get it out of the world. He said, you get this directly from my Father. And that's what praying in the Holy Ghost to do for you. I mean, it's kind of like coming out to my house and I got $10,000 buried 1 foot under the ground in a metal can and I give you a real good metal detector. You're going to find it. And that's what God wants to do for you. But if you just, you have to realize that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. This is not words. This is everything God is. It's everything God is. He's not any more and he's not any less than what's in this New Testament. See, the Old Testament is a shadow, but see, we don't have to put up with the type anymore. We get the real deal. And you have to look at it as the real deal. And it's not a casual thing that you pick up on Sunday and take to church with you. Man, I know churches, people go to church, they don't even bring a Bible anymore. That's not smart. I know the Word pretty good, but I carry my Bible with me so in case I don't get it right. See? Because the Word has a voice. It says angels hearken unto the voice of the Word. Yeah. Not an echo. See, I can holler real loud and there'll be an echo on the other side, but it's got no power in it. But a voice has power. And angels hearken unto that. And they'll do what comes out of that voice. They won't do what comes out of an echo. You have to know this is truth. He always causes me to triumph. That means I never lose. And I'll explain never to you if you need that. Never. I don't concern myself about my kids or anything. I cover them all. That leg had to come back when you spoke to it. And that's what you had to do, speak to it. See, when this... It tells you in there that that's how God's going to build His church. Not by flesh and blood, but by the revealed knowledge from God. And then God says, that's how... Well, who are you? You're the church. Quit thinking that... You read that. Boy, the church is a building. That's how I'm going to put people in my church. No, that's how he's going to build you up. You're individual to him. He knows how many hairs you got on your head. Unless you're a pastor. And then he talks about his face. So he counts them, see? That's it. He gives you keys. Now, them keys he gives you ain't for unlocking doors. It's how to live in this life. Yes, you bind and loose, but you do it by the Spirit. And it's all the promises he gives you. All of them. You know, resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, you can't in the flesh bind something spiritually. You have to do it in the spirit. That's why what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. See? A lot of people look at that as unlocking doors and stuff. No. Revelation knowledge. You have to pursue it. You have to dig in and go for it. Amen. Well, anyway, you got it.
That's good. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the revelations that's come out tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. Father, I thank you for the love that the people have for you. I thank you for the love that they have for this church, Father. And I thank you that that we're going to continue to walk deeper into your love. And the more that we get a revelation of your love, the more that it'll be revealed to us what you've already prepared for us. So, Father, we receive that now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, go find somebody. Bless them. Hug them. Tell Doug what a great job he did, because he loves talking to people. And go out rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it cold?